I think in Japan, if you see foreigner and if they can speak a little Japanese, and they would, like, Japanese would talk slowly to you, like, Ohayo gozaimasu, like, kind of level. But, you know, in the U.S., it's so diverse, a lot of, you know, races there. So you don't judge with face, so they speak, you know, as you can,
right,
you're,
right,
you know,
face,
yeah. They speak as you're like a native speaker, and it's fair. I mean, it's they don't judge with face, so it's so they speak fast, and they don't care what people say think about it. I feel like you don't have to understand everything they say. Like sometimes American cannot understand each other. Yeah.
Hey there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides the sushi and sumo, anime and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Welcome back, listeners. I hope you guys are doing A-OK. We're going to switch it up a bit with this episode. As I usually do, I try to find guests that are, you know, considered made in Japan. People who are living and technically trying to make it here, literally living here in Japan. But in Japanese, there is a word. The word is called kikokushijo. Kikokushijo is basically the translation is a child that is returning to their homeland. And our guest today is Wonko Ebisawa, and he fits this category very well. These so-called Japanese returnees, I mean, you know, they're increasing by the almost every generation in for this country. More and more Japanese have been born overseas and come back. But in Ko's situation, he, instead of being made in Japan, he goes and sets his career in his life in America. And I had the opportunity to meet up with him during the New Year holiday. He just happened to be, you know, of course, it's a family holiday for Japanese, and he had some free time, and I got up to meet up with him, and actually, literally on January 1st, and most places in Tokyo are closed, so we ended up just, you can tell by the, you know, if you listen to the episode, you can tell that we went to the Starbucks that is situated underneath the train station. And so you'll hear the humming and the goings of various trains that are being going through while we were having a chat. But I think Ko's story is a very good story to show to you guys, that, you know, we talk about, you know, with this podcast, I talk about foreigners that are, or even just jet locals living in Japan trying to make it. But here we have Ko, who is one that is Japanese and trying to make it in America, even though he was born there, educated in Japan, and then now is working as an adult in the States. So I think his story really speaks volumes to what Japanese, you know, they worry about. They have a lot of anxiety about in terms of living in another country and working in another country for those that, you know, wish to. But yeah, let's just fire it up, and then let's hear about my former student, Ko Ebisawa. He is the sales manager of Sanyo Corporation of America. And without further ado, here we go.
Thank you.
first memories mm-hmm. of you in this class, you looked like a typical trading guy, like you guy.
For sure.
Yeah, came in all confident, and you're like, hey, I came in to brush up my English. Let's go. And I was like, all right, I like this. That's half the battle, that confidence.
Well, yeah, but I was like always late for the class, and I was always like hangover because I was taking like a Saturday class.
Oh my, I remember that now. Now you just, I recall back. I should have been more strict on you too. But I was like, oh hey, what's up, bud?
And like, it's a good thing, but worst thing is part is like after, you know, I was hangover and go to class late, and after that we go out for a drink again.
Hey bud, but anyways, I just want to say it's really good to see you again.
Yeah, really good to see you. Yeah, like, it's been a while.
I feel like you've changed, but you don't. But you said you before earlier you're like, no, I want to stay young. Why'd you say that?
Well,
you're like, I want to stay young.
So, before going to the West, I was not healthy, like drinking every day.
Yeah.
Like smoking, but after going to the West, I felt like, you know, I have to be more health, like careful,
right.
Because I have my son,
right.
I have my wife. I have to be more responsible, so I'm growing up.
So you've been gone how many years again?
It was 4.5 years. Yeah, 4 years in the New York.
Yeah.
And half a year in Michigan.
Right. And to me, that's why I brought you here, bud. And I, you know, for the listeners, it's just by chance to hang out and meet up with an old student of mine. Old student, can you introduce yourself for me?
Yeah. So my name is Ko Ebisawa. I work for Sanyo Trading, which is like a chemical distribution company, like an import-export. And I'm a sales manager in the U.S. subsidiary.
So you were a manager since you arrived in the States?
Yeah.
So you got promoted and then you moved to the States?
Yeah, I think so.
So when you left, because you were so young, right?
Yeah, I was just like 27, and
That impressed me when I found out that you were moving to the States.
Oh yeah, so yeah, the things are changing recently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like companies are trying to send young people
right.
to foreign countries.
But as a sales manager, that's impressive.
Yeah, I'm the only one who do the sales.
Right.
And yeah, that's challenging.
Well, let's talk about your background first, man.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a reason why you were sent to the States.
Well, yeah, I was living in Michigan when I was from like 4 years old to 7 years old. So I wanted to work, you know, in the foreign countries. And yeah, I'm luckily went back.
Your family was living in the States. What was your dad doing?
My dad was doing like worked for like a tire company, which like Michelin.
Oh, was it Michelin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you know, Carlos Ghosn was the president there. Did you know that?
So he was in Michelin, and of course at that time this was in the 70s,
80s,
90s. Oh, early 90s. I'm
early
sorry.
Early 90s.
I'm going way back. and Detroit. So was it in Detroit?
No. Like 20 miles north of
Detroit,
west of Michigan, Detroit.
Was your dad selling tires?
I think so. I think my dad was selling tires to the like a Japanese OEM, which is like a Toyota, Honda, those kind.
Do you remember your childhood?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
What was your instant? I guess when you were there in the States, what was your first memories of?
First memory.
Or like the first good memories.
Good memory. So I was playing hockey, like a ground hockey with in the basement with my friends. That was huge, you know. I was doing it like every day almost.
How old were you at that time?
Like 6, 7.
That's right, okay.
Hockey. Yeah, it's big.
So you brought it there, and then you came back.
Yeah. And I completely forgot my English. Yeah, it's...
And that's why you came to me at that time.
Right, right.
And I'm like, what are you doing here? You're
so
right.
After graduation, like, the university, I felt like, oh, I need something.
But you went to a pretty good school too, right?
KO yep. University.
It's funny, my previous episode, I actually interviewed a KO professor.
Wow. Okay.
But anyways, it's funny that the next episode is a KO student.
Oh, wow.
But so I know KO, a very prestigious school, but you chose a field. I think most, so when I think of KO students, I think about like engineers or even doctors. And especially also like bankers in the finance world. But you went into the trading company, the chemical trading sector.
Yeah.
But I guess we have to tell the listeners in Japan. In Japan, the trading houses are very powerful compared to obviously the United States.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to go Sogo Shosha.
Yeah.
Which is like
the trading companies.
But I feel like I made the right choice, because...
Why was that the right choice for you?
Because it's a good company, I mean... And they sent me to the U.S. and at the age of 26, and, like, it's not going to happen at the other companies. Yeah.
Did you go... Because I know it's very competitive for the university students, especially... and these days, I teach a lot of trading houses. And
oh, you do?
So,
all right.
And I do know that there is a sense of, like, a college part two again when you enter, you finally get accepted and enter the company. It's almost like all the new employees, the rookies, are just like, yes, now I feel proud again. It's almost like they passed all these exams again, the tests, and now they're into their... status quo for your own company.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel that way? How was the process for you?
Process to...
To enter.
Enter the company? I think you better be yourself, because if you lie or... it's not gonna make a good result, I think. But I was just stupid and like... I was thinking, you know, I want to finish Shukatsu as soon as possible. And I found the company, and it looks like they have the subsidiary outside Japan. So, okay, it's deal.
So, why did you choose Sanyo specifically?
I had the other company's offer, but it looked like their job is boring, and they told me I have a chance to go outside Japan. So that was the key.
Did they talk about, or did they mention anything about like, hey, so how's your English level? Or
they ask for it, yeah, but they don't ask that in English. So
because I've heard some companies do that too. They would automatically switch up and then speak in English.
And if you can respond to it. Yeah, that's a good interview, I think.
That's the best way to go.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Instead of like a TOEIC test.
Yeah, instead of doing TOEIC tests, you should speak directly and you can, you know, tell the English level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I remember that time. You entered the company and then... You came to me. You came to take lessons with me.
Yeah, and well, that was... You know, because my company start, like, if you go to a school like that, they're going to pay half.
Yeah.
So, I should use it. And
of course. So, but your first years in the company, while you were training, you do your orientation, did you have a lot of free time? Or were you doing a lot of company events?
Yes, and so... I had to go to dinner with my customers.
Sure.
So we don't have like a big training session. Sure. Like it's basically like on the job training.
Yeah.
And my boss was like crazy. Because he because I had to go out with him like 3-4 days a week.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
But because I did that, I could go to the US. Because he got promoted after like 2 years. And he liked me because I'm drinking, maybe drinking just 3-4 days a week.
Man,
so,
yeah.
And he knew my English is getting better because of you.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, boy. But when you told me the news that you got the go ahead to go to the States, I was really, really fired up for you because I remember during the lessons you were always recalling back about your memories of, mm-hmm. of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and you do really have this urge to go back to the United States.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is probably in your background growing mm-hmm. up, you mm-hmm. had a really you had more of an American spirit.
You think? Yeah.
Nowadays, I think a lot of younger Japanese are much more thinking about being just stable and being more. But I think you are one of the ones that are really just so hungry to go ahead and go outside.
Yeah, it's very important to be hungry. Yeah. Stable is. I hate it.
Really?
I get bored, very soon. I want to, like, do different things, and it will help you, because... And Japan is, because it's very, like, convenient, safe, and, like, there's everything here, so... it's... This environment, it makes people to get more hungry. Like,
yeah. Well, especially if you're in Tokyo, mm-hmm. like in another city, this is an environment where you have to stay hungry and you gotta be pushing yourself. Mm-hmm. But you didn't go back to Michigan. You went to
New York. Yeah. New York.
Let's talk about that.
Oh yeah. So New York. First time I landed, I thought it will. Well, our office is like. Kind of middle in Manhattan.
I know. Yeah.
Like a 42nd Fifth Avenue. It's the best
right
area.
Dead center.
Dead center, yeah. But I feel like, oh, this is like Tokyo.
Yeah.
Dirty Tokyo.
Was it your first time in the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't have like difficulties in like language, so it was not hard to get in.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it's dirty Tokyo.
Now, were you, so I gotta remember, I don't know the timeline exactly, but mm-hmm. were you single already at that time?
I was married.
You're already married, okay. Yeah. And then you moved to New York.
And I already had like my son.
And you had your son already?
Yeah. He was almost one.
Wow, so that's a big leap. And and your company was aware of that as
mm-hmm.
well?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were okay to have your whole family come along?
Yeah, basically company likes to send people have like family.
Right.
Because if you send single to other countries, it's not easy to find the partner.
For Japanese companies, it's very common to have, you know, especially if the worker has a family in Japan,
mm-hmm.
it's very common for the worker to just be... to, especially in most of the Southeast Asian countries.
Yeah. That's right.
So, but for the U.S., I guess it's okay.
Yeah, it's
just
it's
bring the whole family.
Good.
How was the adjustment? Working in the New York mm-hmm. and then dealing with your family. You know, you're as a young parent.
It was tough. It was tough. But
how did you manage that?
Well, so the first 4 months, I was only by myself there, and my family came like 4 months later.
Yeah.
So I could get used to the job during that 4 months. And what else? Well, it's not that difficult to live there. Everything is there. You can do shopping even if you don't know English.
Right.
So,
I mean, it is New York. You can just use your body language.
Oh yeah. But I was so surprised because everything is so expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rent.
Yeah.
One bedroom, like 4,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you were living in the city?
In the city first.
Yeah, it's quite expensive.
1 year. Just 1 year. Because we decided to send my son to the nursery or like a preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And
is
we were
it local or Japanese?
Local.
Okay.
Local. And we were trying to find it and we realized that it cost us like $2,000 per month.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. So that's and then we decided to move out from Manhattan
right.
to the suburb.
Well, how much was your company paying for your rent?
Oh, they were paid. So the good thing for expat, they pay for everything.
Okay.
Well, the rent and insurance. What
so
else?
Like a $2,000 a month kindergarten, no problem?
No. They're not gonna pay for the.
I thought they did.
Oh yeah. So some good companies, they pay for their, but. Not my company, so we had to go out. We were kicked out. I feel like, you know, if you want to live in, well, if you want to live in New York, you need like at least like 100K.
Yeah.
It's like a minimum.
Yeah. Well, if you want to live in Manhattan.
In Manhattan, it will be like more.
More.
Yeah.
But even still, like, you know, a lot of my friends who work and live in the city, they don't live in Manhattan. Many of them live out in the burbs.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's just getting more and more people are just moving out and out. Even the Bronx is getting expensive.
Yeah, it's really close to Manhattan right now. So even the like bankers in the U.S., they start with like a room share in Manhattan.
Mm.
So it's tough.
So you moved out upstate New York?
Yeah, well, it's the area is called Westchester County.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 40 minutes train ride with Metro North.
Okay. Oh, the MTA is pretty nice.
is it?
I like it. Well, I use it all the time from Connecticut. So
it was a nice area.
Yeah.
Yeah. More room. So the rent is almost same, but I got like a 3-bedroom, a duplex. Style house.
So you did the whole commute thing, go to work.
Yeah.
And then stay, hang out on the weekend at your house.
Mm-hmm.
How about your wife and your kid? How did they adjust?
So they had to drive to go. You need to go, like, if you don't have car, you can't do anything, so. So my wife got the driver license, and my son started going to the preschool.
That's another one. Was it difficult to adjust driving in the U.S.?
Yes.
Compared to Japan.
And like maybe in a month, she hit the car to the other car. Immediately, she hit the car.
Oh my god.
And I was watching it because she was trying to get out from the garage, there was a car, and like, boom.
So from your house, you got
from us, yeah. I could see it.
Oh man! And she continued to drive.
Yeah, cause she had to. She had to send my son, to the school. So.
So, aren't you lucky now that you know you're back in Tokyo? And speaking of driving in Northeast, especially New York, New England.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of snow and there's a lot of ice.
Oh yeah.
How was that? Because that's a very different type of driving skills.
Oh yeah,
where there's no ice or no snow.
In the West, the snow is gonna get gone in like 4 or 5 hours because it's not a big issue. And
really?
Recent, like 3-4 years, we didn't have much snow in New York. We were lucky.
How was it this year?
This year, not that much.
Even in Michigan.
Even in Michigan, yeah. We are lucky, yeah.
Wow. Huh. So, okay, you were hanging out, you were working, and 4 years in New York.
Yeah.
And then just after that, now you spend 6 months in Michigan.
Michigan.
How often did you come back to Japan? And did you ever miss any part about Japan?
I do, but I come back like every, like twice a year.
Twice a year.
And yeah, I can see my friends and well, I like simple life. So I really like Michigan because it's 10 minutes to the office,
right.
2 minutes to the gym.
Right.
What else? Yeah, it's very simple.
Super,
like,
okay.
Go to the work,
yeah.
Hit the gym, you know, spend time with my son. That's it.
Bro, you're totally an American now.
Yeah, I feel like that.
That's what like a typical American worker does.
I've been here like 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
I'm very tired, right? And then I want to go back to the U.S. as soon as possible.
Why Michigan? Why were you transferred there?
So we have, our company has two offices, like
okay.
Detroit and New York.
Okay. And you have to, so for the listeners, you have to remind them this is a subsidiary of Sanyo Trading.
Yes, Sanyo Corporation America.
Okay.
And we have two offices, New York and Detroit.
Yeah.
And I work for rubber department, which is in New York.
Okay.
And, but I was traveling to, you know, like Michigan or Ohio area, you know, the Midwest area, a lot. Like one third or half a month I was traveling.
Wow. Okay.
And I thought it's easier to work there.
Okay.
So I told my boss that it's better to move there.
Okay.
Move
is it a smaller office or?
Yeah, it's a small office.
Okay.
New York is bigger, but yeah, so I, you know, suggest my boss that I better move there.
Right.
And he accepted it. And what else? Well, so I also traveled to Mexico, like every 2 months.
What's in Mexico? For the factories?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, automotive industries is getting bigger there, and I supplied the raw material there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's why I travel there. And there is a direct flight from Detroit to like our office in Mexico.
Okay. I want to know, so, you know, you coming from New York and then living in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's a big change in lifestyle.
Yeah, everyone was saying, oh, why did you move? Like, why did you choose that? Like, but I felt like, you know, it's my second hometown, Michigan,
right.
You know?
Right.
So
weird. It's like kind of like a destiny.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a destiny. Yeah.
Well, you know, to come back full circle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Huh.
No problem. I don't need like fancy things. I changed, you know.
You don't need the Kirin frozen beer?
Oh, yeah. I need that. I need that. But
you remember that, right?
I remember that.
I don't think I think they still have it, but the last time you were here,
mm-hmm.
remember in Shibuya there was a Kirin frozen beer
frozen
bar?
Yeah.
It's gone now. It's
oh.
Yeah, they renovated it.
Oh,
Shibuya's
that's sad.
Completely
sad.
Changed now, man. And like, yeah, anyways, I can tell you're a simple guy. But when did you come to the U.S.? Was that
15, right?
And now this is 2020 now. I guess I'm just curious because
mm-hmm.
people have been wondering,
mm-hmm.
and even my students here in Japan, you were there,
mm-hmm.
you know, during the Obama administration,
mm-hmm.
and you felt, you know, the life there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you felt the transition of Obama to
mm-hmm.
Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, for you and your family, did you feel, was there any effect to your family about change of presidents?
So I feel like everyone is talking more about politics right now. Like I hate Obama, like Trump, or I hate Obama, like saying something like that.
It's
but,
probably tough for you.
Well, yeah, I can't choose. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
So I heard that, you know, more expats that are like refuse to get the visa, and
Nowadays.
Nowadays, okay. Yeah.
Even for Japanese.
Even for Japanese, yeah. I don't get it, but yeah.
Do you feel any things have changed in the office, like among your coworkers?
No, not really. Yeah. They work for a long time and they don't. Well, they say politics things, but okay, I got it. Like,
has it affected your business, like in Mexico?
Yes. Well, Mexico, not really. Oh yeah, yes, but the big thing was like Huawei. You know the company Huawei. They, you know, the band Huawei products.
Yeah.
And
this is Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Oh,
well, no, it's a Chinese company.
It's a Chinese company, right? And like the president or the CFO was like arrested in Canada.
I think it was like their
CEO
or something.
CEO, right. And like they brought her into America from Canada. And so that really affected you.
Yeah, so I supply like a little raw material to the US company.
Yeah.
Chemical company,
yeah,
and they make the things for like a laptop or, and their business is like gone, and yeah, that affected a lot.
Wow. So how did that? So how did you change your business model?
Well, they also have like a domestic, you know, customers, and their demand is going up because they banned Huawei. So it's recovering. No, step by step.
Okay. Let's go. I want to know, if you can talk about the expats. I want to think about the Japanese expats.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this podcast is really meant for, the guests I have on are usually people who are living in Japan and trying to make it or have made it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you as a guest is really appropriate as a sense of almost like a mirror.
Oh yeah.
Situation where not just you're making it in America through the eyes of a Japanese expat. Now, you know, in your community, have you talked with other Japanese expats or about like your experience?
Oh yeah, I do.
You do?
Of course.
So I just want to know, like, what? How can you compare for the Japanese? I mean, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I look at you and I see an American.
Oh wow.
The way you behave. That's fine. And I think that's interesting. And I think that's what I, you know, sometimes as a foreigner in Japan, I don't like to say expat. I'd rather say foreigner in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that to me. They're like, you're super, sometimes I behave super Japanese.
Oh.
It's because I've just adjusted.
All right.
But there's also challenges that we all face. So what are the challenges for you? And what are the difficulties that you still continue to go through?
Yeah, well, when I first go there, like, it's not easy to deal with American in business. Like, I have to understand everything, I have to be prepared, and I have to use English. And they speak very fast in the U.S.
So, can you tell the audience, what do you mean by speak fast? Because I think it's hard to, from a native English native speaker, it's hard to understand. Where is that speed? What do you mean by fast? Is it the vocabulary?
So, I think in Japan, if you see a foreigner, and if they can speak a little Japanese, and they would, like, Japanese would talk slowly to you, like "Ohayo gozaimasu," like kind of level. But you know, in the U.S., it's so diverse, a lot of, you know, races there, so you don't judge with face. So they speak, you know, as you can,
you're
they speak as you're like native speaker, and it's fair. I mean, it's they don't judge with face, so it's. So they speak fast, and they don't care what people say think about it.
Like, has this continued to be an anxiety for you? Has this continued to be something that makes you nervous?
No, not really, because I can. Well, I feel like you don't have to understand everything they say. Like, sometimes American cannot understand each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to the French restaurant with my colleague. She's a 63 years old lady.
Yeah.
And we sit at each other, and the waiter was explaining the foods.
Yeah.
And she didn't understand anything. I understand more. So if you understand the culture, like French restaurant, like if they, you understand like what kind of like food they use, or yeah, it's same. If you understand the American culture, yeah, you can hear more. And that's a difficult part, because I didn't know, you know, like in the burger shop, you were asked like, how do you like to cook?
Yeah.
And what is it about? Like,
right. Or just like straight up, for here to go. People, yeah, you know, especially I've heard Japanese would freak out when they, yeah, hear that, for here to go.
Oh, well, what should I say? Like, yeah. So you know the culture, and it's easy. Yeah.
And then though these are experiences that are important, and I think even it's just hard to teach these experiences, mm-hmm, in a classroom setting, and that's where the classroom should be extended to you, motivated to live and or visit the countries.
Yeah, if you, I recommend if you have chance, you should grab to go to America, because, yeah.
Moving on, you told me before we, you know, before we recorded that you're planning to come back to Japan.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So it's, U.S. is very strict.
Yeah.
The foreigners work there.
Yeah.
You need visa, yeah, and I think if I have a green card or like a citizenship,
yeah,
I would try to find a job there. You know, working. To the other country, company, and get the job. But if you don't have it, it's tough to get the job.
I'm curious about the, in specifically in America, I'm curious about the number of Japanese expats that switch companies or leave their Japanese company and go to,
I think, like, America. It's like 10% or something.
Okay. So I thought it was higher, actually. But
higher than that?
Yeah.
My feeling, it's like 10%.
10% now?
But some people really like America. Some people don't. Doesn't.
True story. I found out from one of the companies I teach is, I never knew her.
Mm-hmm.
Her. She was your age when, mm-hmm, she moved to the States. Mm-hmm. And she was working in the international section as a saleswoman. After like living in the United States for 6 months, mm-hmm, she left the company and joined the, and she auditioned to become a Washington Redskins cheerleader.
And wow.
You can see her now. She's, if you check out, mm-hmm, the Washington Redskins cheerleading squad, mm-hmm, like she's been in the cheerleading squad for the Redskins.
Oh wow, that's
for
amazing.
Like 3 years now. And she never looked back.
Oh, wow.
And this is and I was like amazed that happened.
Amazed. Yeah. So she liked it.
Yeah. Well, she's, I guess she's still there.
Wow.
But I figured like that things like that can, mm-hmm, happen. Mm-hmm. You know, because it happens here in Japan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, but 10%.
True. True.
So, what about you and your family? Imagine coming back. Are you afraid, or are you not afraid?
I'm afraid my son, you know, gonna forget English.
Okay.
He's going to the school now, yeah, and he's learning quickly.
So how does it work in your family? You know, now in the schools, you know, speaking English, but in home, is it only in Japanese?
I sometimes speak in English.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he speaks in English,
oh, wow,
sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
So, if you're walking, if we are walking in Japan, like, and sometimes he's speaking English,
yeah,
and people are like very real. Oh, well, what are they talking? And it's a very, they look at it very weird.
Yeah, it happens every day for me.
But yes, that's the only issue I have. Like, I wanna come back a little bit.
Yeah.
But thinking about my son, I wanna stay there like two more years. Yeah. And they have better education, I think. Cause,
yeah, I wanted to talk to you about, like, what, yeah, you think about the education system.
The difference, right?
Yeah.
The I think most important thing is for child is to let them do it, and failure is important. They learn from failure. So in Japan, like, parents are stopping them from failure. Like, before they fail something, parents teach it. It's not a good way to teach, and then it's more like strict.
You and I both know this. Mm-hmm. In Japan, it's all about like being certified, mm-hmm. getting a license or getting a certification, having that validation, basically a document that mm-hmm. validates that you passed something. And how do you feel about that now? Because that's the way it's always been in the education system. You know? It's all about not just studying for your experiences, it's studying for the test, for the next ladder up. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, in Tokyo, I think it's improving, but I can't say for the rest of the country what's happening.
Yeah,
aren't you worried about your son too?
Yeah, because we say in Japanese, "Deru kui wa utareru." So, an outstanding.
The nail that sticks out.
Yeah.
Must be
what?
Hammer down.
Yeah. So, it's. I think it's getting better compared to
when you were a kid.
Yeah, but still, I feel that, and so, yeah, the difference is a good thing. Yeah.
Okay. The office culture, and for you, mm-hmm. yourself, working and living in America, mm-hmm. are you prepared to come back to Japan into the Japanese style office culture?
Yeah, that's...
I'm pretty sure you're going to be really excited for that.
Well, no. No way. So, it's pretty flexible right now, because I'm the only one in the office for my division, so I can decide everything. I can work from home. So it's pretty easy, but sometimes I have to work late or work on weekends. But still, you know, it's very flexible. But in Japan, you have a huge organization.
Right.
You have to ask everything to the boss, and
it's gonna be really exciting.
Yeah. Well. But worked in two countries, I think I can do more if I come back. And I have some idea I wanted to do in Japan, like a new business.
That was my next question.
Uh-huh.
I was gonna ask you, you know, when you do come back,
mm-hmm.
aren't you curious about working in another country?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I travel a lot to other countries, so I know how they work. I talk with my colleagues, so I know how they are doing. Yeah. So, first thing first, I want to work for Japan. You know, Japan is our main market, still main market, and I have some ideas for the new business. So, I want to try that first, and after that, I'm not, you know, I get bored quickly, so after that, I want to work. Well, I want to try something new,
Well, one thing's for sure, man, I'll be really happy to have you hang mm-hmm. out, you know, when you come back again.
Yeah,
it'll be a blast, but it's still good to see you here.
Sure.
And, well, anyways, final question, my man.
Oh, yeah.
What is your advice for, you know, most of my listeners are mostly English-speaking listeners, mm-hmm. but just what would be your advice for the young Japanese who are interested to or wanting to work overseas?
Overseas.
What would be the best way for them to prepare for what you have done?
I mean, nowadays it's very easy to learn language. Mm-hmm. You can go online and watch the class, you know, get whatever you like. So I think for English learning, consistency is very important.
Yeah.
And you have to be hungry to get the chance. You have to, you know, keep your eyes open, and if you think that's the opportunity, just grab it. And like, if you hesitate to do it, like, just push yourself and try it, and it will change you in some way. And yeah, well, everyone's, you know, start from the, you know, first step. So,
and you never know, because I think the days of the traditional way of a career in Japan, it's slowly changing. You know, you know, a lot of that times sticking with one company and just going through the whole career like that. I think that's changed a lot now.
Yeah, yeah. So the to be very like a unique person is very important, like, nowadays. Like, I'm not unique, so I have to be more unique.
What are you talking about? Japanese guy born in Michigan, comes back to Japan, ends up back in Michigan. Anyways, Ko, dude, thank you, man.
Thank you very much,
until next time.
Next time, yeah. Episode 2?
Episode 2? Yeah, sure. Part 2.
Part 2. Episode 2, yeah. Part 2.
So that was my former student and dear friend, Ko Ebisawa. Once again, I want to thank him for coming out and doing this interview with me. I hope everything goes well with his career in the States. And when he does come back, we're probably going to enjoy another Kirin frozen beer. So anyways, you're listening to Made in Japan podcast, Conversations with Melgio Catalan. For those of you who haven't checked my social media, I did make an announcement earlier last week, I believe. I started my own Ko-fi account, Ko-fi, which is a ko-fi.com. Ko-fi, they are like a Patreon or one of those other donation websites. You can find my Ko-fi homepage is ko-fi.com/Made in Japan podcast. It's just, you know, it's a donation webpage that I set up, you know, to, you know, for anyone who's interested or keen to donate change to buy me a coffee, hence Ko-fi. I don't know why it's spelled that way, but that's how it is. So, it's just something for you listeners to, you know, for those of you who wish to donate. And it doesn't matter whether you put in a cup of coffee or whatever, or just feeling free to just listen to this podcast. I really appreciate all of you to come and check out what I'm doing. And so I just think it's a really cool idea. Anyways, you're listening to Made in Japan Podcast. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Made in Japan Podcast as well. Also, feel free to send me a message through my host site, which is anchor.com/Made in Japan Podcast. Or you can go through my email address, which is japanmademepodcast@gmail.com for any questions or comments or anything that you, or if you know anyone that has a story to tell, you can you know, send me an email through those channels. And so yeah, I will be back next month with another episode. So I hope all of you are doing well, and I'll check back soon. Anyways, for those of you, thank you for listening, and peace out.